Well, like I said, this is a special day. This is the time we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:3, and I'll give you a chance to turn there. And like Craig said, if you're visiting, you don't know, I'm Pastor Hagin, and that's Pastor Craig Hagin right there. And the other guy you saw around here, that's Greg. Finley, Greg Finley. My mind's thinking about preaching, not all this. So, but we, huh? Yeah, I've been on cruise. Of course, you know I wasn't here last. I was preaching last Sunday night in Marietta, California. Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night, and then Wednesday we flew over to Las Vegas to David Sharon's church, and we were there Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. And I got home about 3:30 in the morning on Saturday. Got in bed about 6. Got about 4 hours sleep and got up and been going, got getting ready for this weekend. And, you know, like Craig, while you're finding that in your on your smartphone, your iPad, I got it all. I got it here. I got it here. I got my Bible here. I got scriptures already written down in my notes. So I got them everywhere. But, you know, we wanted to open this campus over here, and I didn't want to do a TV church. And the only way we could do it was to have Sunday night service. And I said, well, they started Saturday night where people could be off on Sunday, just go to church on Saturday night. I said, why can't people be off the whole weekend and come and enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night? And so that's what we did. And it's working and it's going good. Now, everybody found 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to begin reading with the third verse. I'm going to read from tonight. I'm going to read from NIV. Sometimes I read NIV. Sometimes I read from the NLT. Sometimes I read from the CEV. And I just use different translations at different times. My people that work with me on putting the scriptures up, they're always saying, they say, okay, what translation are you using today? Because I go to different ones. And you know, I go to different scriptures and different translations. And as you read the different translations, sometimes one of them will just seem to speak to you a little better. You know, that's why we need to read, because it says it in a little different way, and it may speak to us. Paul says here, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Now, that's one thing you need to notice. A lot of times, Paul's talking about falling asleep. He's talking about cessation of life. They, you know, and that's another thing you need to understand about the Bible. When it says dead or death, you need to, whether it's talking about spiritual death or physical death, because the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but yet we're alive, so we weren't dead. So what was dead? The spirit man. The man on the inside was the dead man. Here, most of the time when Paul is talking in his writings, when he is talking about when he says falling asleep, he means physical death. That's what he means, and that's what he's saying here. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, Paul also. You know, without the resurrection of Christ, you know, we would be just like all the other religions. Yeah. We'd be worshiping a dead leader. Yeah. We would have no power. Yeah. You know, we would have no escape from sin. Yeah. We would have no hope of eternal life. You know, I in the Army, I spent 22 months in Taipei, Taiwan, and had come into contact with several of those Far Eastern religions, and they are all trying to get out of this life to be something else so they can come back and be something that, and they get, you know, it gets, they have degrees, and they just try to get to the highest degree, you know, but we're in Christ. We start out at the highest level. That's all false. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20, Paul shares five things that will be true if Christ had not been resurrected from the dead. Now, I'm not going to read those, but one, our preaching would be useless and powerless. Two, our faith is futile unless and useless and entirely in vain. The apostles are false witnesses and are all liars. We would still be lost in our sin with no hope of escape. And those who had already died would be lost forever. But Paul boldly declares that none of this is so. He says Christ has risen from the dead. And we today join the apostles and millions of other believers from past centuries and living today in proclaiming Jesus Christ is alive and well. He was raised from the dead. He is alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is alive. He was alive and he died and he arose and he lives again forever. Amen. You know, I don't think that the people of the Word of God really they didn't grasp what Jesus was trying to tell them. And many times during his ministry, if you read it, he talked about this being raised from the dead. Nobody grasped the magnificence of it. The disciples didn't understand it. And, of course, the Jewish people, they didn't recognize it at all. And, you know, the devil and his host had no idea that Christ was going to raise from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 2, 8, it says, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd understood what was going to happen, they wouldn't have crucified him. They had no idea. The resurrection was God's hidden mystery. And in the ages, until the fullness of time, it says in Galatians 4, 4. The fullness of time, he sent his son. Hey, you know, some people want to challenge the resurrection. Some say the resurrection was only a hallucination. Some say it was a fantasy or a dream. Well, I tell you what. I think there's too many documentations for it to be a fantasy or a dream. Even the Jewish historian Josephus, anybody ever read any after Josephus? It's a book about this thick. He doesn't call him by name Jesus, but he said there was a man and he rose from the dead. You know, others say that Jesus only fainted and lost consciousness, and so it was all a hoax and he really didn't die. You know, others tried to say that the records were tampered with and at a later date and so forth and so on. But at least 32 verses in the four Gospels make direct reference to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. These references revealed that the disciples did not grasp this possibility. The Jews didn't, we know. The Roman soldiers marveled at it. At least 54 verses. Now, 54 verses in the book of Acts and the epistles. 54 added to 32 would be 6 and 3 and 5 is 8. 86 verses from the Gospels through Acts and the epistles make direct reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of verses from a lot of different authors and writers as the Holy Spirit moved upon them to write and pen these things. You know, the apostles boldly proclaim the resurrection as the basis of their salvation. They embraced the resurrection as the cornerstone of our faith. If you know, anybody know what a cornerstone is? You know, they don't do that as much now, but used to when they build buildings. In fact, if you go to some of the older towns around here in Oklahoma, you will see on one corner of the building, on the foundation, it's called the cornerstone, and everything else is set from that. And they usually engrave the building and the name on and the date on it and so forth and so on. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone on which all Christianity is based. Amen. This happened over 2,000 years ago. And the effects of it are still being felt today. Amen. It was the grandest event that's ever happened in the history of mankind. It is the very essence of Christianity. It actually, if you study it, it revealed the prophetic voices of the Old Testament. The Old Testament was, they talked about it. Isaiah talked about it. They talked about it. The prophets talked about it. Nobody understood it. But it is the revealed mystery. It's actually one of the central themes of the Word of God. It is the central message of the apostles. It should be our message. It is the foundation of our belief. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no foundation for our belief.
Amen.
As I said, it was the greatest event in the history of mankind. Jesus Christ, suspended between heaven and earth as he hung on that cross. And he looked up and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And with one last breath, he said, it's finished. And his head slumped to his chest. And the thunder rolled. And the lightning flashed. And that curtain that was 3 feet thick and about 20 feet high that separated the holy place where from the Holy of Holies, behind that curtain is where the power of God tabernacled. That's where it resided. But on that day, that veil was rent from top to bottom. And the power and the presence, and God said, no longer will I tabernacle my presence inside of a building. But from now on, each man and each woman and each boy and each girl and each young person will have the power of God tabernacled inside of them. Hallelujah. And on that third day, he arose victorious over death and hell.
Amen.
And Mary ran to tell the disciples. They thought it was all over. They thought it was all gone. They had left their jobs and to follow this Messiah. And now he's died. He's on the cross. But he arose again and she ran to tell him. And you see, they still had trouble believing it. But then they were in the room. And he walked through the door and said, here I am, boys. Just like I said I would be. After 3 days, he arose victorious. He appeared to the Apostle John. And he said, I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Just what does that mean to us today? It means Christ's resurrection makes it possible for us to experience our own spiritual resurrection. From death to eternal life. From sin to righteousness. From defeat to absolute victory. Amen. Through believing in the resurrection, we who were dead in sin have been made alive. Amen. John 11:25 said, Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. John 14:19. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. Amen. You know, Paul had a tremendous revelation of the resurrection and what it means to us and it, in our spiritual life and in our existence in Acts 17:28, when he said, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. You know, Paul said it like this. If Christ was raised into a new life, we also can be raised into a new life. Romans 6:4-5. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we shall certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. This is talking about our spiritual resurrection. You see, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but we have been raised together with Christ Jesus to sit with him in heavenly places. You know, Galatians 2:20 says it, Paul says it better than I guess any of us can say it. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I have in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Paul's desire, you can see it in Philippians 3:10, was to know Christ and in the power of his resurrection. You see, it says the same power that raised Christ from the dead will quicken us. Amen. Will quicken us. You know, in his resurrection, there's the power to save. In his resurrection is the power to heal. Amen. In his resurrection is the power to deliver. Yes. In his resurrection is the power to keep us until that day. Because after 40 days, appearing to over 500, he went outside of the city of Jerusalem with a group of his disciples. And he said, and he gave them some instructions. And then he began to ascend. But this time, as he was leaving, it wasn't as if it was over. It was only beginning for them. When he died on the cross, they thought it was over. But now, as he ascends into heaven, he has given them instructions to go and evangelize the world, to tell everyone that I was dead, but now I'm alive. Amen. And they can be alive also. And two men in white apparel says, why stand you looking? Go do what he told you to do, because this same Jesus that you see rising will come again. And friend, that is going to happen. That is going to happen. And Paul says it like this in Thessalonians, "For the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and together shall be caught up in the clouds of glory to be with him forever." Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. And we can stand and boldly sing, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives." Tonight I want you to realize that if you've accepted Christ into your heart, life is worth the living. Amen. Today, if you haven't accepted Christ, you can experience that salvation, that being resurrected from spiritual death to spiritual life, because he lives. We live also. Amen. Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments tonight about your resurrection. To stir up our hearts and our minds once again. To realize that you are our life. Without you, we are nothing and we have nothing. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you happen to be in this place tonight, and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you say, "I know what it is to serve him, but I'm just not exactly what I should be," and you want to rededicate your life. Or you might be like a lot of people, you go to church, but you've never accepted Jesus. You don't know whether you've ever accepted him or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. There's a hand over here. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. You can put it down. Anybody else? Everybody stand, please. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I would ask that you come right down here. I want to shake hands with you. I want to pray for you, just like I said I would. So come on. Come on. Come on. Come on right here. Just come right here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless you, Kevin. Stand right here, man. God bless you. Hey, y'all reach your hands out as I pray with them. Heavenly Father, I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met tonight. Rededication. No soul experience with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You see that man right there, Glenn? Would you go to a special place of prayer where he can be prayed with more indefinitely? And he's giving some literature. Just go with him right now. Just follow him. There's a special place I want to pray with you. Give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank God. That's what it's all about right there. That's what it's all about. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about right there. Hallelujah. Well, I like to take communion on the first, at least once a month in the church, and this is no better time than on Easter Sunday when we celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection and take communion. If y'all come and get ready for this right now, you may be seated. Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul said about the communion. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" We believe in open communion. If you know that you are a born-again Christian, we invite you to partake of communion with us. As they are passing the elements, we're going to be singing, "Let's Worship the Lord," right now.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven.
Sing it with her.
Jesus Messiah, He's Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, He's Lord of all.
His body, the bread.
His body, the bread.
Let's sing that.
His blood, the wine,
broken and poured out.
Trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer. Messiah, He's Lord of all.
Let's sing that again.
Jesus Messiah,
worship Him as you sing.
Name above all names, blessed Messiah, He's Lord of all.
We hold in our hands a piece of bread that represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. A cup of juice that represents the blood that was shed for our salvation. His body was beaten and broken for our physical health. He shed His blood on Calvary's hill that we might have life and have it more abundantly. As we partake of this bread, if you have sickness, you just say, Lord, I take You as healer right now. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Son Jesus that went to Calvary for our sins. His blood was poured out for the remission of sin. His body was beaten and broken for physical healing. We thank You for that. Break and eat. Thank You, Jesus. Shall we drink together? For just a moment, let each one, in your own way, thank You, Lord, and Your God. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us, all of Your protection, Your healing, all of the great things You've given us. We thank You, Lord. It's because of You we have life. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand and sing. Hallelujah.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Well, just praise God. Father, thank you for Jesus. Because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we have life. Because he's alive, we have abundance of life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, we'd like to see all of you back next Sunday night. Amen. We're here every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. I'm either speaking or Craig's speaking most of the time. Occasionally there'll be some one of the other staff members from over there speak. But me and Craig are here most of the time. So come, bring some friends, bring some people with you. Let's grow this place. Because that's what I started it for. That's what it's for here in Oklahoma City. Now, I'm going to go to one door and he's going to go to the other. So we're going to try to shake hands with all of you as go out. Hey, this has been a great day. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget all the announcements, okay? God bless. We'll see you next week.